this picture, truly one of the most unusual ever filmed, contains scenes which under no circumstances should be viewed by anyone with a heart condition or anyone who is easily upset.
Well, hello, folks. This is Robert Berry, and welcome to Retro Crush, the podcast, episode 92. Hope you're all having a good evening or day or whenever it is that you listen to this thing. First of all, I want to thank you all for hanging in there and continuing to listen to the podcast. It's just, you know, we're doing better than ever. And I want to apologize for having about 2 weeks since our last podcast. I got a lot of emails from folks saying, when are you giving us something new? Come on, man, what happened to you? And, you know, not much really happened. I think I just needed to recharge. There's a couple times I sat down and just didn't really have that spark, that creativity I needed, i.e. wine, to make it work. And, you know, I think everybody needs a vacation once in a while from doing something day in and day out. But, I'm back with a vengeance. I've got lots of great stuff lined up. In fact, next podcast, to tease you here, we're going to feature an interview with Weird Al Yankovic. I'm going to be interviewing him in 2 days, and I just can't wait. He's got a new CD coming out on Tuesday the 25th, I believe, called Straight Outta Linwood, and it's got some great stuff on it. It's you know, I think Weird Al's had some fun ups and downs through his career as far as me personally being interested in what he's been doing, but I've heard some tracks off the latest CD, and it's pretty funny. He's got a song in particular called White and Nerdy that I think is one of the best things that he's ever done. So today, we are going to kind of coincide with a feature we've got on the main Retro Crush site. We had a poll on what horror film has the best music score. And I listed about 20 different movies, and people voted on them. And if you go to the front page of RetroCrush.com, you can see what the fans have voted on. There's thousands of votes, I believe, in there, so you can kind of see how they ranked. But I have to say I didn't agree with some of the choices. Some of them that I felt should have been really high up there got very little votes at all. And so here's my, I guess, more well-informed top 10. Sorry to be insulting there. But yeah, you know, I love horror movies. That's you know, something I love. I eat, breathe, and sleep them, you know. And we've got so many horror film features on the website. And the 5 years that Retro Crush has been around, we've done the 100 scariest movie moments, the 100 coolest monsters, the 100 greatest horror film acting performances of all time, and just tons and tons of stuff. In fact, if you haven't been to the front page of Retro Crush in a while, I've got all the Halloween content linked on the bottom of the front page, so you can see a lot of really cool stuff out there. Easily spend hours. In fact, one of the things we've got is this awesome collection of those classic 60s and 70s Halloween costumes. Remember those kind of the plastic mask and the rubber band on the back, and it would break, and you'd have to hold the mask on your face all day. You know, they'd be like made out of trash bag material. Those are always kind of funny because like you'd get a costume of Darth Vader, and instead of the front of the costume looking like the front of Darth Vader's actual costume, there'd be a picture of, like, Darth Vader waving at you, saying hi. You know, or Chewbacca saying, hey, what's up? I'm Chewbacca. So, you know, not really authentic, I have to say. So, when you check that out, we're gonna do a lot more Halloween stuff in the days to come. And let's go ahead and get started here with the top 10 horror film soundtracks of all time. And it was very hard for me to select just 10 because I love them so. And we're going to play some of the also-rans when this is over as well. But the first one, number 10, we'll do this Casey Kasem style, is from 1954 from Hans Slater. And it's one of the great classic monster films of American history. You know, Universal Studios pioneered sort of the popular franchise monster movie here. I mean, we certainly had Dracula, Frankenstein in the early 30s. King Kong came shortly after that from RKO Pictures. And, you know, really, if you think about it, the creature from the Black Lagoon that came in the 1950s is really one of the first great American creations that was unique to America. You know, Dracula and Frankenstein were based on novels from Europe, King Kong's just sort of a variation of the Beauty and the Beast story in a way there. But the creature from the Black Lagoon was, you know, hey, that was pretty damn cool. This Gill Man, weird creature there. And the soundtrack by Hans Slater is just really cool. Take a listen to it here. Very powerful, scary, and energetic. It almost reminds me of some of the music from Jaws, a little bit of even the Star Trek and Batman themes 12 years later when those came out on television are kind of present in there. That same year, across the ocean in Japan, Godzilla made his film debut, actually called Gojira, and another great soundtrack for a monster movie. Godzilla soundtrack was done by Akira Ifukibi, I believe that's how you pronounce it, but probably not really. Akira Ifukubi. Ifukubi. I don't know. It's a dangerous name to try to pronounce too accurately. But the Godzilla soundtrack's another great horror film soundtrack at number 9. Here it is. Alive. Boy, if you haven't seen the original Godzilla, by the way, they just released the 1954 Japanese cut of it, the original Gojira. It's a really cool DVD. You can get it for under $20. And, you know, it's just a lot more depressing and awe-inspiring than any of the other Godzilla films you've seen. Trust me on that one there. At number 8, we have the Amityville Horror. And I'm talking about the 1978 film, the Amityville Horror, not the 1994 porno film takeoff called The Amityville Horror. But this had a soundtrack by Lalo Schifrin. And Lalo Schifrin not only did the theme song to The Amityville Horror, but he also did the theme song to Mission Impossible, the television show. So great body of work. He did some stuff for some of the Planet of the Apes theme songs for Starsky and Hutch. He did some music for Enter the Dragon, Rod Serling's Night Gallery, THX 1138, George Lucas's first film, Cool Hand Luke. I mean, the guy goes all the way back to the 50s with some of the great stuff that he did. But I really dig his theme song to this theme music in general to the Amityville Horror. And I will play that for you here right now, coming in at number 8. Pretty eerie there, that's for sure. At number 7, we've got Danny Elfman's soundtrack to Beetlejuice. Now, I really think that Danny Elfman really has only about 3 different soundtracks in him. I mean, you've got your kind of spooky, eerie kind of soundtrack, and then you've got your upbeat kind of one. And it seems to repeat those rather frequently throughout the films that he's done. Sorry to say for you Danny Elfman fans out there that they think that's blasphemy. But, you know, he kind of got one of his first major soundtrack jobs doing Pee-wee's Big Adventure with Tim Burton. And with that collaboration, they did numerous other films together. Notable ones being Edward Scissorhands, a great soundtrack, a favorite of mine. Mars Attacks, really fun, and of course the great Batman theme music that he did in 1989. But I think the Beetlejuice stuff is what I like the best. It's just got that great playful, scary combination that works so well for the movie. You know, there's a film that, you know, of all the remakes and sequels, gosh, a Beetlejuice sequel would be great. I mean, you know, he's already balding and old and weird looking, so you could throw Michael Keaton right back in that makeup and it'd look like the very next day. Hell, you could even have him just like, you know, maybe make a story where like Winona Ryder's, you know, working at Hot Topic or something like that, and maybe a Beetlejuice goes to torment her. You know, possibilities are endless. That's for sure. At number six, we've got Suspiria by Goblin. Now, Suspiria is this really, really cool horror film. I think it's from 1980. And it's directed by... sorry, I'm a totally... It was from 1977. Good thing I can pause and go to the Internet Movie Database. And it's directed by Dario Argento. Really creepy movie in a lot of ways, but the soundtrack from Goblin, which is a great group that also did the soundtrack to the Italian cut of Dawn of the Dead, which is, was released as Zombie in Italy. But wow, their soundtrack to Suspiria is just freaky as hell. If you try to buy this soundtrack on Amazon, basically, it's being sold as an import, and it's like, I think, $40 they're trying to sell it for. But if you go to iTunes, you can get it for $10, the whole thing. And even just sample some tracks off it. Here's one of the main titles here from it there, and this is Suspiria by Goblin at number 6. Now, at number five, we have The Shining by Wendy Carlos, directed by Stanley Kubrick. The two had previously worked together with The Clockwork Orange, where she basically sort of did weird techno versions of classical standards there. But, man, her soundtrack to The Shining is just incredible. So at number five, we have Wendy Carlos' 1980 soundtrack to The Shining. I'm getting scared just listening to it now. That's great stuff. There's so much more great music from The Shining. Tough soundtrack to find on CD, by the way. At number four, boy, we're almost down to the end here. We've got Tubular Bells, which served as the soundtrack de facto for The Exorcist, which was released in the mid-70s there. This was by Mike Oldfield. I remember my parents had this album when I was growing up. It was a sky blue, clouds everywhere, and this like kind of triangular shaped tube. And just listening to this music before I even knew anything about The Exorcist, I heard this theme all the time. It was kind of cool sounding, and then seeing it in the context of the film later just made it even more creepy. as well. Just great, great stuff. The whole album is fantastic. If you, if you've not listened to it all the way through, I totally recommend getting drunk and or altered in some fashion that is legal, and listening to it yourself. So at number four, we've got The Exorcist. Wow, good stuff there, that's for sure. Number three, we're almost at the end here. We'd be remiss to not include this one. 1978 Halloween by John Carpenter, who not only directed this film and wrote the damn thing, but, get this, he also composed the soundtrack. Pretty amazing. Actually, John Carpenter did the soundtrack to a lot of his films, but you know, Escape from New York being one of his really good ones as well. But Halloween really sticks out. Probably one of the more recognizable horror film theme songs of all time. Here is Halloween at number three by John Carpenter. We've only got two left here. Number two is from the legendary godlike film composer John Williams. If you just think about the films that this guy has done music for, I mean, gosh, you've got, you know, E.T., Raiders of the Lost Ark, Star Wars, Close Encounters. I mean, just the list just goes on and on and on and on and on with just some of the greatest films ever made, no doubt, and due to small part to John Williams' film scores as well. And his work with the movie Jaws is probably my favorite, and that's our number two film, horror film soundtrack of all time. I mean, you just think about this music when you're in the water, and you just know a shark's going to come and bite your legs off. Anyway, yeah, boy, that's still just great. You know, just it perfectly accents the film. Something I read before, basically, I guess John Williams turned this music in to Steven Spielberg, who's directing the film, and he thought he was joking. Like, well, this is it? He's like, yeah, listen to it. You know, just check it out more. It really works. And sure enough, boy, did it ever. So I can't imagine Jaws without that music. It's just sort of, you know, Siamese twin of horror pleasure with that film. Well, we're up to the number one film, and it was really hard to pick the number one horror film soundtrack of all time. This is a film from the early 60s, and the music still, I mean, you can make the sound effects from this soundtrack and know exactly what you're talking about, whoever you're doing this to. You hear this music, and it's gonna let you know trouble's coming. And blood's gonna spray. And from 1962, we have one of the greatest. Well, hey, according to our list, the greatest horror film soundtrack of all time. 1960, actually, excuse me, not 1962. And it's Bernard Herrmann's incredible score to Alfred Hitchcock's immortal masterpiece, starring Anthony Perkins, Psycho. Wow, great stuff. Some neat things I was just reading on the Internet Movie Database about this is Alfred Hitchcock was so pleased with the score written by Bernard Herrmann that he doubled the composer's salary. He later said that 33% of the effect of Psycho was due to the music. Said also that Alfred Hitchcock originally envisioned the shower scene as completely silent, but Bernard Herrmann went ahead and scored it anyway, and Hitchcock, of course, changed his mind. And this film was originally conceived to have a jazz score instead of having a string orchestra. In fact, the score that you hear, nothing but string instruments the whole way through. So kind of cool stuff there. So there you have our top 10 horror film soundtracks of all time. And I thought it'd be fun to play just a few others that I like that didn't make the top 10 list, but thought maybe deserved a little bit of attention here. First off, we've got Akira. Now, Akira is this really cool animated film that was released back in, sometime in the late 80s, I think, 89 or 90. And the soundtrack by Genio Yamashirogumi is pretty cool as well. I maybe this isn't a horror film per se. It's an animated film from Japan, but it's sure pretty scary in a lot of parts, and here's some music from that. Now, from the 30s, we've got Frankenstein. The credits of which, it's kind of confusing, so forgive me if I'm wrong. It was original music in the film by Bernard Cohn. It's uncredited, and there's non-original music by Giuseppe Becce, who is a bunch of, it could just be stock music, for all I know, but it sure sounds pretty cool, nonetheless. Sorry to blow out your headphones there. We did Godzilla, but you can't shortchange Mothra's cool music. In fact, those two little Japanese girls singing to Mothra before she comes out of the egg there. It's just great, great stuff. Mothra, ya, Mothra, Dongan kasaku ya, indomu. Lusto wilado hamba hamba muyang landa panguradan tonju kanda kasaku yam mosula ya mos. Now Herschel Gordon Lewis, you know, considered the pioneer of gore films by many, made one of my favorite horror films of all time, for camp value mostly, but 2000 Maniacs is just great. And this 60s film, one of the early gore films, has a really fun theme song to it, The South's Gonna Rise Again. And it's actually sung by the writer-director, Herschel Gordon Lewis, with a really fun bluegrass band. Here's a piece of it here for you.
There's a story you should know from 100 years ago, and 100 years we've waited now to tell. Now the Yankees come along, and they'll listen to this song, and they'll quake in fear to hear this rebel yell.
And they'll quake in fear to hear this rebel yell. Yeah! Oh, the South's gonna rise again.
And to kind of close out our look at horror film music for the night, here's one. It may be one of the scariest music that you'll ever hear in film.
He got friendly, holding my hand. Well, she got friendly, down in the sand. He was sweet, just under 10.
Well, she was good, you know what I mean.
Summer heat, boy and girl.
I'm sorry, that's not the clip I was looking for. Funny, I had that labeled scariest music ever. I must have saved the wrong file there. We actually have a look at Grease coming up shortly. If you've not seen it yet, they've got this really cool new version of Grease on DVD with a lot of extras on it, missing scenes, on black and white, and they're not such great finds. But it really comes in this really cool like leather jacket or pink ladies jacket carrying case for it. So kind of good dumb fun there. Well, that's about all the time we have for today. Thanks for listening. We're going to have another show later this week, hopefully, Weird Al Yankovic. And we're also going to have the winners to our Wuss Rock 70s Music Challenge. And we're going to have a new 70s Wuss Rock Challenge as well. So thanks for all of you hanging in there that entered. We did have somebody that got them all right, and we're going to be honoring her accordingly. And call the Retro Crush Hotline, 916-231-9480. You can email us, rberry, R-B-E-R-R-Y at RetroCrush.com. Visit the RetroCrush.com website and visit our MySpace page at MySpace.com/RetroCrush. And we got a really cool fundraiser going on right now, by the way. You can help support RetroCrush. Go to the front page of RetroCrush, and we've got Halloween prize packages. I've got these really cool things I'm putting together. They're selling like hotcakes. And you know how hotcakes sell. They sell like, you know, these Halloween prize packages do. And for $20 via PayPal, you're going to get a package full of just great Retro Crush stuff like you wouldn't believe. You just got to fill out a couple things so I can learn a little bit about you. And there's more details on there, but you know, I sent out about 40 of these so far. People love them. I'm getting emails back saying, Robert, you've changed my life. Robert, if you weren't married, I'd hunt you down right now and make a man out of you. And that was from a guy in prison, so that was kind of scary. But anyway, look forward to hear from you. Call the Retro Crush Hotline. I know we've been off the air for a couple weeks, so things have kind of slowed down a bit. But Halloween's a-coming. And lastly, I'm going to be going to Glasgow, Scotland between October 11th and 18th and try to do some podcasts over there. But if anybody's got any cool ideas or some things to do while I'm there, let me know. That'd be kind of fun to find out. So I'm going to leave you today with, let's see here, what do I got to leave you with today? Oh, what the heck, since we just played a song from Grease, I'm going to leave you with Stockard Channing's wonderful portrayal as Rizzo. You know, she is about the best-looking 40-year-old going to college I've ever seen in a movie. It's funny, when I was growing up, I was thinking, man, Olivia Newton-John is just so hot. Then I kind of liked Dee Dee Khan as Frenchie, but watching Grease now, it's like, man, it's all about Rizzo. You know, Stockard Channing's just great. In fact, she's singing this Sandra Dee song, and she's just wearing this shirt and showing off her underwear and these gorgeous legs. I mean, like I said, she's, you know, got to be like 38 in this movie, so she's definitely far more developed than a high school girl is deserved to be. But this is Stockard Channing singing Look at Me, I'm Sandra Dee.
Look at me.
Denny, is this the end?
Of course not.